are listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened truth radio program in the world. We are VIC Fellowship. VIC stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. My name is Renee, and the title of our show is What in the Cell is Going On? We are on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on the front page of prn.fm or later on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. Last show, our co-host Gary Tunsky covered part one of Divine Answers to Cancer, Weapons of War is Not the Answer. And he will continue with part two today, but only after our guest, Sherry Esch, shares her success story. We are so excited, and welcome to our show, Sherry.
Hi, Renee. Hi, Gary. How are you both?
Hello, Renee. Hello, Sherry. How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you very much.
Yeah, why don't you start with the audience and explain to them how you found out you had cancer, kind of the and what they actually told you what to do for treatment, and kind of build from there, so they know both sides of the coin.
Okay, hello, audience. As Renee mentioned, my name is Sherry Esch. A year ago, September 8, 2017, which is almost exactly a year ago, I was diagnosed with stage 2, grade 3 breast cancer. It was that day, September 8th, was supposed to be a date day with me and my husband, so we were going to get the mammogram out of the way and have a wonderful day for the rest of the day. However, it did not turn out that way. I looked at the doctor and I said, "Are you sure I have cancer? How sure are you?" He says, "I'm 90% sure that it's cancer and will be 100% sure when we do the biopsy." And I remember, Gary, after I explained biopsy to you, you told me what they did. They actually spread. They just broke that cocoon and spread it all over into my body. So the biopsy confirmed that I did have cancer, and I was told my only option would be to have a surgery, to surgically remove my breast and mastectomy, and followed by 6 treatments of chemotherapy, and then 21 days of radiation. I think it's 21. My memory during that thing is kind of hazy because it was an ordeal, actually. And so depending on the node involved, the lymph node involvement, it would probably be more chemotherapy and more radiation. So they did the mastectomy on November 28th. And I had 2 lymph nodes, and they weren't micro-invasive. They were macro-invasive. I researched macro. I couldn't find anything in the cancer, the website regarding macro, so I guess it was bad. And so I was told that I had to have chemotherapy. There was no if and but about it. I asked the oncologist if I can't have an Oncotype DX done to determine whether it's necessary. He said, "Well, the protocol states if it's X, Y, and Z, chemotherapy is the treatment. It doesn't make sense doing an Oncotype DX. It wouldn't prove anything. It's going outside of the norm." Basically, he said he can't do it or else he'd get fired because he cannot explain why I need further testing when everything else proved that I have node involvement. So that was my treatment plan. It had to be chemotherapy, then followed by radiation. So it was very confusing and depressing, Gary, very confusing and depressing, because I'm praying and I'm thinking, "God, is this the abundant life you promised me? Am I supposed to live with all the side effects of chemotherapy?" They outlined all the side effects, and as you know them, peripheral neuropathy, hair loss, gum disease, heart palpitation, bone loss, and a list of about 2.5 pages of side effects. And I'm thinking, so this treatment that you're going to give me to kill the cancer, you're just killing the cancer, but what about the rest of my body? What about my quality of life? You're not just killing the cancer, you're just slowly killing me. It didn't make logical sense then. And I'm just thinking, "God, there has to be another way. You did not create us to go through this process. This is not abundant life." And so during this depressing, confusing time, And I'm just going through the motions. I'm told by my oncologist I need to have a port put in, because if the drugs get to my skin, it will kill the area around where there's any spillage. My skin will actually die. So what they do, they put a port in you directly into your aorta to put the pump the drugs in. Can you believe that? I told Renée, she was just dumbfounded that's how this process operates.
I didn't know they put the port directly in the heart. That just devastated me. And you actually, I remember, slid your shirt over it, and I felt the port when you came to see us. I remember.
Yes, it was that incision and the bulge there, you know. So on January 2nd, I was told that was the day I went to get this port put in. And I came back, and I'm lying on the couch, and I'm just crying out to God. I'm mourning, you know, like Job moaned for a little bit about all the issues that he had to go through. And I'm mourning there. And then my boss calls my husband twice, and he couldn't answer. He was busy getting dinner for my son. And then he texts me and said, there is this nice lady. Her name is Renée. Give her a call. She does natural treatments. Well, I have no clue what natural treatments are. I didn't even think that it would work if, you know, with the way the doctors portrayed it to me, that if I didn't do chemotherapy within 6 months, it will spread all over my body and I will eventually be terminal. They made it sound that this is a death sentence. If I do not do chemotherapy, I'm basically dead. And then if I do chemotherapy, I will be half dead, because with all the side effects from the drugs that they're going to give me, I might as well be dead. So I didn't text him back because I had lots of questions. So I called him, and he started explaining to me. And then he said at the end of the conversation, he was like, and we will pay for it. And I started weeping. Not only did God answer my prayer by directing me to you guys, he provided the funds for it. I mean, I know I'm blessed that way, and not a lot of people would be. But, you know, God is our provider. He's our creator and provider. And so I came to see you, and you started explaining what a cancer is, and the fact that they just took the tumor out and that the cells are still there. And when you did your scan, it was exactly like you said, the cells were still there. They just got rid of the tumor and not the cancer.
Right.
And I couldn't understand why couldn't they tell me that. They're the doctors. They're the ones that went to med school for I don't know how many years. I have no clue. How can they not know that they're just taking out the symptom and the actual cause, the actual problem is still there? Why can't they explain that to us, the patients? Give us some sort of hope. You know, billions of dollars are being wasted on these poisonous drugs that would eventually kill us anyway. Why can't that money be diverted to actually come up with a proper treatment or cure? I'm not saying treatment anymore. I'm saying cure and healed. Why can't they come up with a cure? And that part I couldn't understand. I can't understand. People could be so, I have no words to explain it.
The answer to that, Sherry, is the profit margins of big pharma would be destroyed if you cure cancer. You cure the money when you cure cancer. So unfortunately, these poor oncologists and MDs that go to med school, they're going there with a heart to say, I want to learn how to cure disease or cure cancer. And there's somehow, some way, we're going to stumble onto some research that's going to do that. But the research that is available is suppressed by big pharma. And we're going to get into that, what that is. Just to prove to the oncologist, they're trained in tumor removal strategists. They're not trained in cancer. So the cancer epidemiology or the cancer etiology, the pathways, are not even taught in med school at all. And we're going to get into that also. So I thank you for mentioning that too.
Yes. And so I came to you, Gary, you and Renée were, you know, as soon as I met you two, I just felt peace right there. And I know for a fact that our God is not a God of an author of confusion. He's a God of peace and clarity. And right there, in the presence of you two, I felt peace and clarity. And it was all clear. You logically explained to me, which is what I did not get from my medical doctors. No logical explanation. I'm a logical person. You logically explained to me what the cancer is, how the tumor forms and what we need to do to correct that issue. And so you give me this protocol. It was a lot of juicing and your detox. And I just have to let you both know that I went an extra step. You had said two juices. I did three juices. I just wanted to get this stuff out of my body. I know I don't think it was overkill, but I did I did all my vegetable juice. And as your clarity on your book, it says the leaves are of the trees are for the healing of the nations. And I went ahead and I did three juices. And I went through everything step by step. And with Renee's and your direction, when I went to the Bahamas, I heard you guys in the Bahamas. It was a vacation for us, kind of like a vacation. And and we went there, and it was exactly 3 months from the date I first got scanned by you. I was scanned on January 16th, and on April 16th, I saw you guys back. And when I looked at the screen and I saw nothing, and then you did your other reports, your 52 pages of reports, and it showed no cancer, well, you saw my reaction. I was in tears, praising God, thanking you too profusely for your help and the ministry and the clarity you bring to people, erasing their confusion and the peace and the joy with the help of God, you two give me back my life. And today,
thank you, Sherry, for being disciplined, because we cannot make somebody do what we tell them to do. You know, we guide them and direct them and give them hope and the proper treatment modalities, but it is really up to you. It's not up to us. So the curing is really you, the self-healing autogenic system that's built into you by the creator of the universe that heals cuts and broken bones and lacerations. That's what triggered your reversal of the cancer, not any product or any panacea. It wasn't me that did it. I'm not God, so I can't cure anybody. No MD can either, no oncologist.
Exactly.
So it's the actual applications of the detox and cleaning up the liver and the kidneys and the blood and the lymphs and the green juices and the protocol that you did with the HDE equipment, with the ceramic emitters and the Qi machine and the e-power. And we'll get into some of how those things work a little bit. But what we're going to be discussing today would be not taught in any academia. So no medical institution, MD Anderson, Sloan and Kettering in New York, would never teach the MDs oncology the truth about how to cure cancer, because it cures the money. And that's just common sense when you think about politics and economics. That would make sense that Big Pharma makes big money on Cancer Incorporated. It's business. It's not science.
Yes, indeed. They do that, and then medical bills would keep piling up. I didn't have insurance. Look at it. I did not have any sort of insurance. When they found about my cancer, they gave me a card, an insurance card, and said, this will take care of everything. I went for, when I was in the process, when I thought I had to do chemotherapy, I was called by my pharmacy, and they told me that there are some drugs there for me, Gary. And one of the drugs, a 30-day supply, I'm not kidding you, cost $1,700. 30-day supply. And I didn't have to pay for it, obviously, because it was the insurance. You know, the insurance is paying for it. But who charges who for 30 tablets for $1,700?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's beyond exploitation. And so it's big bucks. They don't, you know, curing cancer doesn't serve anybody best interest, like you said. It doesn't serve the best interest of Big Pharma. So there is the fact that cancer can be cured is so suppressed. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I came across scriptures upon scriptures of the truth, like Exodus 15:26. That's the healing scripture. You know, these are the truths. And with your guidance, you and Renee's guidance that God has given you both, I was able to overcome. And I am here as a testimony that this stuff works. It's not a gimmick. It's not lies. It's the truth. And again, thank you both for your help and your ministry. And I pray that, you know, it will continue to flourish. You'll be able to open more eyes to the truth so people can turn away from this big pharmaceutical mafia. And
absolutely. And tell them how long it took you to get the results that you got, Sherry.
3 months, Renee. Actually, 2.5, because it took me about a week to get the stuff from you guys. But the total results, two and a half months exactly.
Amazing. And also tell them how you scheduled as an outpatient to have that port removed. That's pretty powerful,
too. Oh, yeah. I was in my detox, and after I met Rennie, and she said, you've got to have this thing removed. They can't do this to you. They're putting this thing directly into your heart. You've got to have it removed. And I called my doctor, and he said, I needed to talk to you before you have it removed. I need to explain to you what are your choices and what are the consequences, of this action. So we got there. He's explaining everything, the dire consequences I will be facing. And if this thing comes back, you will not be a stage two anymore. You will be terminal. You'll be stage four. And I looked at him and I said, I believe in my God. I believe he has directed me to this path, and I am taking it, and I am aware of my consequences. And if you need me to sign a document saying that I hold you harmless, I will. And he says, no, there's no document. I just wanted to let you know. And Gary had explained during the meeting, the first meeting, about nutrition, how important it is. It's key to curing the cancer. And my husband asked him pointedly, does nutrition play any part in cancer? And he looked at my husband and he says, no. So my husband says, so if she goes through this treatment, can she eat anything she wants? He says, yes. Hmm. And Gary, you know that is not true.
Yeah, they're taught that in med school. When in doubt, just cut it out. A pill for every ill, a drug for every bug, a vaccine injection for every infection. And when in doubt, just cut it out. And that's all they're taught. They're symptomologists. They're not doctors. Now, a true doctor would get to the root of cancer. They are not trained. I'm going to stick up for the MDs here and the oncologists. You're not trained in med school to know the causative factors of cancer. And I'm going to get into what those are to show you that you're not taught. They're not taught to know exactly the pathways of cancer. They're thinking that the tumor is the cancer. That's what they're trained in. The tumor is a side effect of cancer, not the cancer. Big difference. They're separate entities. They're not one and the same. So there's a lot of ignorance. It's not stupidity. It's just ignorance, ignoring the truth, because they're not taught the truth. And if you're taught 1 and 1 is 11, hey, look at Doc, 1, 1, 1, 1, you just took two ones together. See, that's 11. Oh, that sounds pretty good. You can't argue with that. Then we all know it's 2. It's not 11. So when you're taught that tumors are the cancer, when you're taught that sugar doesn't even feed the tumors, it does nothing to do with it, when you're taught nutrition has anything to do with cancer, your 1 plus 1 is 11. That's what you're believing. And that's why they don't know nothing about nutrition. They're not taught to know purposely. They're kept in the dark by big pharma because you care the money. If they were juicing and they were changing your diet and not eating sugar, you wouldn't feed the tumors anymore. So they want the tumors to be fed. They want secondary tumors by popping the cocoon. You mentioned that. You pop the bubble. The cocoon, which is the side effect of cancer, the tumor is the side effect, not the cancer. So if you poke at it with a needle biopsy, you spill the cancer cells that are cocooned right back to the blood and the lymphatic system. So now you got a spreading going on of a secondary tumor. They cause that. They cause the tumors by doing mammograms. When you push your breast on a radionic plate, like 50 pounds of pressure, and if you have any mutations whatsoever in your breast or cancer cells, and they shoot radiation through it to get an image, what do you think it's going to do? Your annual mammograms are going to cause breast cancer, not cure it. Cause it.
Gary, when you said about the biopsy, when they did the mammogram and the ultrasound, the lymph nodes were all clear. It was all clear. Now, after the biopsy, and when they did the mastectomy, they found that 2 lymph nodes were macro-invasive. If they were slowly being taken over by cancer, I would understand micro-invasive, but not macro-invasive, which goes to prove your point. When they poke it, it goes into your lymph nodes, and that's what happens. It spreads everywhere from your lymph nodes and in your bloodstreams. But right. I was told, it was made basically abundantly clear to me that biopsies does not, the cancer cells wouldn't escape. But that doesn't make sense. If there's a balloon and you poke it, air would come out. If it's filled with water, whatever is in there will come out. But they keep on insisting that nothing comes out. They're just basically scraping a little bit off of the tumor. That's what I was told.
Right. And that cocoon, that bubble, is an intelligent system by the body to keep you alive. It's trying to cocoon or bubble up the cancer cells. And inside that cocoon is pustulence, dried blood, mucus, pathogens, toxins, and all other kinds of foreign chemicals and antigens, including the cancer cells, when they poke at it with a biopsy or even cut into it with surgical procedures, they spill the cancer cells and in the lymphatic fluids and also the blood fluids. And then the blood will carry these cancer cells free-floating into an area that's dark, damp, moist, low pH, stagnant blood, low oxygen, sugary area, and they rebreed again, they recede. So you're seeding another tumor site. But they can't say that to the people because then they would expose themselves. They can't do that. So they have to make up some story that, oh, yeah, the biopsy has nothing to do with spreading cancer. Oh, sugar has nothing to do with feeding tumors. That's their own ignorance. That's what they're trained to know.
But that contradicts a PET scan. Isn't a PET scan radioactive sugar?
Absolutely. In fact, last week I went through that. The positive emission tomography, the PET, that they use for imagery, they have to use sugar as a vector, as a delivery, as a penetrator to get the radioactive dyes and the immunocontrast contrast dyes to get images soaked in to the tumor site. And sugar will suck it in because the tumors have an affinity to 16 times the amount of sugar receptors as a healthy cell. So they want to 16 times the sugar they absorb before even healthy cell even grabs glucose.
And so that's how they know, because the sugar, the cancer is attracted and it kind of lights up, right? And so
right. It's called sugar fermentation or sugar glycolysis is what the medical terms. So if any MD oncologist wants to know this stuff, either you can call us and we have the heart to really my heart's in it to teach these MDs and oncologists the truth if they want to know. But if we want to know any of this, you just get on Google search. Just punch in sugar feeds tumors and see what it does. Fermentation or sugar glycolysis. And in fact, you want to punch in some of the scientists that really are true scientists. Otto Warburg, he's a two-time Nobel Prize winner. You have Robert Young, who knows about the pH problem of acidosis, which it feeds tumors, and so forth. Lactic acid recycling to feed tumors. So all of this information that is going to be on the show today can be looked up if you really want to know truth. If you want to just put your head in the sand, that's fine too. If you want don't want to know, that's fine. Just continue your practice and be drug cut, burn, poison, tumor specialist, because that's all you are. Mm-hmm. You're leaving the cancer in the body. So when you remove a tumor, you didn't get anything. When you see that they get it all, what did you get? You got the tumor, which is the cocoon, the bubble, the intelligent system that is a side effect of cancer, not the cancer. You can't fight cancer. It's impossible. Cancer is a process. It's not an object to fight where you're not fighting anything. If you're fighting the object, which is the tumor, you're not curing anything. So by preventing the physicians to know what the cancer etiology is, they keep them in the dark, and now they're employees for the drug game. So the drug cartel actually trains them to be symptomologists and drug cut, burn, poison, tumor specialists, and they're trained in epidemiology of the actual tumor formation. Yes, they are, but that doesn't mean that you're curing cancer. If you remove the tumor, even get it all, you still are toxic. You still have acid pH. You still have immunosuppression that's made worse with chemo and radiation. You still have nutritional deficiencies they know nothing about. You still have circulation problems. You still have inflammatory responses. You still have pathogens. I can go on for another hour to show you they have no training, none, zero, in cancer epidemiology.
That is true, because when I ask what is cancer, nobody could answer me. All the doctors, they tell me how it's caused, probable causes, that is, probably because of the environment, probably hereditary, probably smoking, drinking, but nobody can tell me what it is. They haven't even answered my question, what is cancer? When I say, what is cancer? They come up with, what causes cancer? Well, that wasn't my question. And if you don't know what it is, how can you basically treat it? Treatment in uplifted commas, because it's not really treatment. It's a pre-treatment adept, basically, because with all of the side effects or the direct effects, I think Marcus Ellis, if I'm allowed to call his name, in a previous broadcast had mentioned the direct effects, and then they call it side effects of cancer.
They can't be honest in med school and say, hey, you're going to get direct effects. Could you imagine saying that to an MD in their training? You're going to get direct effects from the pharmaceuticals you use and the chemotherapy and radiation. They can't say that. So they have to tell them, oh, it's just a little side effects. Side effect are direct effects, they're diseases. If you have NSAIDs brought in, non-steroidals, and a period of time, 6 months down the line, if you're abusing it, you get a bleeding ulcer. That's not a side effect, that's a disease. You get a bleeding ulcer, that's not a side effect. That's a direct effect from the NSAIDs, side effect. But they can't tell them that. And they can't tell them the side effects of the chemo and radiation because it kills you. So they got to hide it as side effects, not direct effects. Big difference.
Yeah. I was told about all the side effects. And another thing that didn't make sense to me, my family, from my mother's side, we have a history of heart problems. And I had a sister, she was 2 years old when she passed away with, she had a heart valve problem. My mom has stent. And I told my oncologist that I have a history of heart problems in my family with the Adriamycin, or Red Devil, that they call it. How would that affect me? He says, okay, we'll do a echocardiogram, and which they did, and it supposedly was good. My heart rate and everything was fine. But when I did the scan with you, with your scan is what, 50, 60 years more in advance than theirs. It did show that I have a slight heart palpitation. And if I had gone ahead and taken chemotherapy, I would have been suffering from heart palpitation for the rest of my life and living on drugs. And,
The audience needs to know, too, that the chemo is so caustic and acidic that it'll burn a hole through your shoe. What do you think that's going to do to your heart? A direct delivery right to your heart with chemotherapy?
Exactly.
So they're not going to tell you your heart damage and liver damage and kidney damage and brain damage and bone marrow damage is due to the chemo. They're going to say, oh, cancer is killing you. So the people die of the chemo radiation. They don't die of cancer most of the times.
They die of the direct effects of the chemotherapy drugs.
Right. Yeah. And Marcus went through the side effects with that. And his testimony a couple weeks ago showed the damage that was done by the chemo and radiation that he took. That had to be reversed on top of reversing the cancer process. And that was only done naturally with us.
Yes,
so how can you reverse cancer naturally when there's no cure in the medical realm? When they say there's no cures, yeah, in your realm, but there's cures. There's reversals
of cancer.
Creators,
right? Right. I'm alive right now. It hasn't aggressively spread in my body, and I'm not dead in 6 months. It's a year now, and I'm still alive. So a cure does exist, has always been existing, but suppressed for obvious monetary reasons. And it just makes me so angry that we're not allowed to go the natural. We're not allowed to use natural treatment because all our health is being controlled by these big agencies, and we're pawns. We're supposed to be a free country, but we're pawns.
Right.
And that makes
sense. That's what happens when greed comes in, as far as the greed for the money and profits supersede the value of the person. And to me, that's wrong. But then again, you have to realize we live in the evil's world, evil ones, and we're not living in a world that is fair, that is concise, and that has. You can't bring true science into false science paradigms, because the true science would show chemotherapy and radiation is a farce. It would show that pharmaceuticals can't work. It would show that cancer is separate from the tumor formation. We're going to get into what that is. So all of the true science has to be suppressed by big pharma, because it would expose their illegal, illicit, activities.
Exactly, and we're unfortunately caught in crosshairs, because we're the ones supplying the money.
Right.
Yeah, people just don't know. I remember you telling me when I talked to you on the phone, when I called to book the appointment, I think you were starting chemotherapy on Friday, you had planned.
Yes, I was.
And I talked to you on Tuesday, and we were able to open up an appointment for you to come and see us. And I remember you telling me, please educate my husband, because he just doesn't know any other way.
No, he was all set on me doing chemotherapy. And, it is hard when you don't have the support of your family, especially your spouse. And
right.
I just beg you, Renee, talk to him. Let him see the other side of the coin. And you did. Gary, both you and Renee did. And my husband was blown away. He came home, and he was He just sat on the couch and he started crying and praying. And he's like, and he said, thanks for taking me over there so that they can see, help me to see the truth. And we start reading through scriptures upon scriptures where people were healed. And you know, when the Garden of Eden were created, it was the plants that were given to us. And so he, you know, slowly God started to open up his understanding. And now he is all, he's such a believer in, you know, in and how God created us, what he has given us to eat. And with your lead boat, you and, Rennie and Gary, your help through this process. You know, my husband, if there's anything wrong, he just says, what natural stuff do you have for me, honey? Pharmaceuticals, not enough. We don't have drugs.
Yeah, and also Big Pharma can't patent natural substances. They can't patent heat. You can heat a tumor to death with hyperthermia. You can choke the blood supply. It's called anti-angiogenesis. So the things that we use cannot be patented for 17 years in control by Big Pharma. And it's not a multi-billion dollar compound that they can, you know, you can't patent the sound wave. You cannot patent juicing. You can't patent detoxification. You can't patent the leaves of the trees. And in fact, in scripture and Revelation, it says the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Well, what's in the leaves of the trees, listeners? Herbs, botanicals, essential oils,
yes.
The juice, juicing of the blood of the plant. Well, it doesn't say for pharmaceutical industries for the healing of the nations. It's for the leaves of the trees and the compounds, okay. The healing elements in the leaves of the trees, the green medicine. That's what cures you. It's not anything that specifically cures you, though. It's the self-healing doctor that's built inside of you. That's your
exactly.
Self-healing system, just like a broken arm or cutting a finger.
Uh-huh. We were fearfully and wonderfully made.
And, marvelous, all that and, works, exactly.
And that's how, you know, that's how God created us. And with supplemental proper nutrition, we were able to heal. Like you said, if you have a cut on your arm, the doctor doesn't heal you. He probably just stitched it up so it stays close together, but it heals itself.
Right.
And
it's not the Band-Aid that heals the cut. It's not the cast that heals the broken bone. And it's not the brace that you put on your ankle that healed the swollen ankle or the sprained ankle. It's the self-healing system inside of you. But it's triggered by nutrition, by oxygen, by vitamins and minerals and enzymes and antioxidants. It's not triggered by pharmaceutical compounds because there's no building blocks in a drug that can heal anything.
It's just, you know, placebo, something that we take to make us feel like, you know, it's helping, but it's actually doing worse. It's not helping.
Yeah, it is symptom suppressing. It is. It will knock out a headache, yes. It will knock out inflammation, yes. Anticortical skin cream will knock out a skin rash. But what are you doing for the cell malfunction, doc? The cells are still toxic. The cells are still dehydrated. The cells are still acidic. The cells have still blood flow problems. The cells have inflammation to them. The cells have immunosuppression. What are you doing for that, doc? Nothing, because you're not trained to know by Big Pharma. That's proved my point right there. So the nutrient building blocks in nutrition are the building blocks of a human. It's not the pharmaceutical chemistry that runs the human body. You don't have a drug deficiency if you have depression. You don't have Prozac deficiency. That's not your problem. You don't have a drug deficiency if you have pain, a morphine deficiency. In the case of arthritis, you don't have ibuprofen deficiency. But you have a nutrient deficiency, not a pharmaceutical deficiency. So, but the drugs are chemistry to where they're manipulative in nature. They will knock out the symptom, but then they poison the cell even worse. So now the cell toxemia gets worse and worse. The cell pH gets worse. The immunosuppression gets worse. The nutritional deficiencies get worse. So the causes of the actual disease process, including cancer, are never addressed in oncology. They don't even know how to, even if they did, if they wanted to. They would have to learn that outside the box. And a lot of the physicians jump ship. They actually realized they've been trained wrong, and they went on their own and actually studied outside the course of the academia, and they actually learned a lot of the stuff we're talking about. And that's the true physicians. The true doctors are the ones that jump ship from mainstream medicine, traditional, and they brought themselves into the real science, what we're going to talk about today.
Now, Sherry, I know you have to leave soon, so you just let us know if you have any final words you have to say and get out of here whenever you have to. So if Sherry goes away, my husband's just going to take over the show. Do you have anything else you want to share with us, sweetheart?
No, I just want to say thanks again and continue with the work. God is in this, and he, I know for a fact that he's leading you, and you've been helping a lot of people, including myself. And I can say clearly that I'm not in remission, like they would call it, but I'm cured. And cancer, well, they another term would be cancer free, but my words are healed and cured.
That's right. Now you know you'll never get it again. You'll never, you know, you don't have to be succumbed to it. Like my mother too. My mother also, same situation. She doesn't worry about getting cancer anymore because she understands the cancer process. Gary's taught her what it is. It's not the tumor,
and,
you know?
And what I need to do, eat properly. I've cut out sugar, wheat. I am doing my vegetable juicing every day, even though I don't have to. I still do it, and I still do my vegetables. Regular vegetables, and I follow your protocol, and I'm good to go.
Good. And you're one of many that, you know, is in a situation of reversal, but we can't really tell anybody. You know, it's amazing how Big Pharma and the media shut our mouth and try to stifle us to try to preach truth. And thank God that this radio avenue, as of now, we are allowed to, but the truth needs to be told to the listeners.
That's right. Well, Sherry, thank you for coming on, sweetheart. Go do what you have to do. We love you. We're so happy for you, sweetheart. And thank you for being obedient and doing what it takes to reverse that cancer process.
Love you guys, too. And thank you so much. I'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Okay. Bye, Sherry. Bye. Okay, listeners. Last week, we got into a lot of the questions in regards to Big Pharma and why the oncologists are not trained to know what we're going to be talking about today. And we didn't really get a chance to address those. So I'm going to address some of the questions. And also I'm going to address what is the cancer process and what is the tumor formation. Big difference. They're separate entities and not one and the same. So the actual process of cancer is the carcinogens you're injecting in vaccines. And people go, what? Vaccines cause cancer? Yes, they do. The vaccines are the culprit to causing the cancer because they're using sick animals to attenuate. It's called seropositive. They're running sick monkey viruses in horse blood and calf serum, using human diploid tissue, which is human fetal tissue, for culturing. They don't tell you that.
Yeah, they don't tell you about Congressman Dan Burton's hearings. We've talked about this in the past. He held hearings showing that they're finding SV40, simian virus number 40, meaning the 40th monkey virus found in cancer tumors. And cancer is every other person today. So, I mean, it's big business to them. I mean, it's obvious if they're poisoning us with the vaccinations and then the things we eat, breathe, and drink on. I mean, it's so transparent when you have the, you know, eyes to see how they're causing their own business. They're making, you know, it's all about the root of all evil, the love of money to them. It's crazy.
And then also acid pH is a major factor in allowing tumors to grow. There is no training in oncology about acidosis. None. Now, they know about blood pH. And that's very important because when the blood pH drops below 7, you go into a coma and then you die. So the blood pH is measured by what's called arterial blood gases, and then they use what's called bicarb in a coma situation or a trauma crisis situation to get the pH back up immediately. But the pH to cells and tissues are different than blood. You got pH to the skin, which is 5.5. You got upper gastric pH, lower gastric pH, cell pH, tissue pH, and blood pH. But they're only taught blood pH in med school. That's it. So if you alkalize the pH to more 7.4 at the cell level and tissue level, you can stifle the tumors and shut them down. And they don't know that. Number three, cancer is caused by nutritional deficiencies. And there's absolutely no training in oncology, in nutrition, none. And if they do take a class, it's an elective class that teaches them what's a protein, what's a carb, what's a fat. Well, what about glycobiology, docs? What about essential fatty acids, the structure of the fats? What about what type of carb that you don't take in, whether it's white sugar or a polysaccharide or a monosaccharide? They don't know anything, the differences between, unless they do their own research. They don't know the differences between the amino acid structures that build the cell structures. They're the building blocks of the cell. And the fuel to the cell is glucose, which obviously fuels tumors. So the next one would be the sugar, which we already addressed. The sugar feeds tumors, doctors. And you're telling your patients to eat anything you want to? Are you kidding me? You're telling me pork chops and bacon and sausage and shakes and just get calories in you so you don't die of cachexia or emaciation. That's just ignorance. And there's no excuse. If it was in 1950, I'd say, you know, you just don't know yet. But it's 2018, docs. Wake up. I mean, you can be in the Safeway line and look at a tabloid and it would say sugar feeds tumor on the cover. An 8-year-old would know that. So there's no excuse for you guys. Now, I do expect, though, not to believe me, but to look outside in the box. Look outside the box and nutritional biochemistry. Look at homotoxicology, the toxic assaults to DNA. The chemical assaults to DNA are causing the DNA mutations. Then they say, oh, it's just the luck of the draw. No, it's a direct correlation to cancer process and the tumor formation. When the DNA gets hit by carcinogens and free radicals, the DNA tries to print out a healthy cell, LIVE cell. And instead, during transcription, the DNA gets hit with free radicals from carbon monoxide and alcohol and cigarette smoke, whatever it is, hits the DNA and the DNA prints out EVIL instead of LIVE. Or prints out bile, V-I-L-E. Well, it does what it's told. The cell actually prints a doublet cell of tumor, two cancer cells, then 4, then 8, then 16, then 32, then 64, 128, 256, exponentially doubles. And the body's way of stopping the runaway train and proliferating is to cocoon it, bubble it up. So the fibrinogen protein wrap, it's a fibrinogen protein, which is like a malignant protein that wraps around the mutated cancer cells to stop the runaway train. And in the process, it's going to cocoon pustulants and mucus and dried blood and cancer carcinogens and also the pathogens. But this cocooning process keeps you alive. It's intelligence. Well, they can't teach intelligence to med school because they're evolutionists. So creation and true science cannot be taught to them because there is no disease. Here's something hard to swallow. There is no disease. All disease is the purging mechanism of an toxic state because you're not. If you're not going to detox and you don't know how to, the body's going to have runny noses. The body's going to have fever and sweating profusely. You're going to have diarrhea. You're going to have vomiting. You're going to have mucus coughing up the mucus from the lungs. These are expelling purging systems to create a healing crisis. This is not a disease. So runny nose are not a disease. A coughing of the mucus and infection coming out is not a disease. It's trying to get rid of something. Diarrhea is not a disease. Now, if there's a severity there of trauma, yes. When you're in a crisis situation where you're having so much diarrhea that you're dehydrated, that's a hospital situation. Absolutely. But that's trauma crisis. That's not disease. If you're sweating profusely and you keep sweating and sweating, obviously you have to deal with the fluid loss and you'd have to get the dehydration taken care of. But the causes of cancer process, the etiology, the epidemiology is never trained in med school. And I'm talking the top ones, MD Anderson, Slaughter and Killing, Sloan and Kettering, Harvard, Baylor, Stanford, Dartmouth. It doesn't matter where you go. You're going to be trained as tumor removal specialists, not cancer specialists. Big difference. You're never addressing the cancer. It'd be like you having a lawn and you never water the lawn. You leave it dry and straw-like. You never rotate the soil. You never use compost and manure to nourish the soil. And all of a sudden, weeds pop up, and your solution is to cut the weed. And you say, oh, I fixed it. No, you didn't. A week later, they pop back up again. Well, that's what the tumors do. They pop back up again because you never watered the grass, docs. You never nourished the soil. You never detoxed the patient. You never changed the pH. You never boosted the immune system. You destroyed it, but you didn't boost it. You never looked at the nutritional deficiencies. You never increased blood flow. You never reduced the inflammatory response. You never fixed the condition, docs, the root cause of cancer. And you only drug cut, burn, poison the symptom, which is the cocoon, the bubble, not the cancer. So cancer is not the tumor. I want to get that to you, listeners and MDs and oncologists. They're the side effect of cancer process. So the process is an invisible incubating disease process you can't fight. So weapons of war cannot fight cancer. It's impossible. This joke about Nixon, a war on cancer. What are you fighting, Nixon, back in 71? And since 71, they have no answers. In 2018, we're at right now, there's been absolutely no solutions to reversing cancer in the traditional realm. But there is in the alternative realm. So I'm going to show the listeners what they really use to reverse the cancer process. They address the carcinogenic problem with detoxification, and there is no detox training at all in med school, none. Chelation, chelating the heavy metals. People look at me and go, what is chelation? Well, look it up, chelation of heavy metals. It has to be done because we're exposed to, from aluminum to mercury to cadmium to lead from the vaccines, the aluminum in chemtrails, and people that don't believe in chemtrails, I got some swampland to sell you in Alaska. Okay, you have contrails, which are condensation from a plane that dissipate within 2 minutes. You can watch it. Then you have chemtrails, chemical trails, which are trails that come out white and they expand in the air and they create clouds and they linger for hours. They don't go away. What is that? It's not condensation. It's chemical. These chemicals are laid down: aluminum, mercury, cadmium, barium salts. You have your carcinogens as far as the aluminum is concerned, and it's 5,000 times the amount of the human exposure that's allowed for GRAS, generally recognized as safe. And aluminum and mercury are found in the vaccines, so they're injecting that right into your bloodstream. So that's a common note, that neurotoxic aluminum and mercury are carcinogenic, but there is no carcinogenesis when it comes to actually researching vaccines. There is no cancer research, none. So that is never exposed. Of course, they would expose themselves. They don't know nothing about how to alkalize the pH. They know how to create acid, yes. They don't know how to alkalize it because that's nutrition and diet. They know nothing about nutrition and diet. They have a pathogen infection problem of mucus, mycoplasmas and fungus and bacteria and viruses in all cancer patients. But they use the antibiotics and antivirals, but they create super germs. So you're not killing anything outside the initial envelope of the bacteria, but now you got to deal with a super germ in the future. They don't reduce inflammation. Very little you hear about cancer treatments in oncology using anti-inflammatories. And their anti-inflammatories are very toxic. There's natural anti-inflammatories like turmeric root. There's MSM, the sulfur. There's the bioflavonoids. You have your Vitalzyme or Wobenzyme. I don't like Wobenzyme because it's porcine derivative, but you can use natural anti-inflammatories. Even the proteolytic enzymes are anti-inflammatory. Hormonal dependency, yes, there is. There's estrogen dependency in breast and ovaries, but they use this synthetic toxic estrogen boosters or modulators, and they don't really have anything that's safe. They have tamoxifen that blocks the estrogen, but tamoxifen causes liver cancer. Look at the indications. You have stress factors that are never, no emotions are addressed in oncology. They don't even ask you, are you under stress? How's your work schedule? How's your emotions, your anxiety, your bitterness? Are you angry at anybody? And that's a major, major factor in cancer growth, tumor growth. So the very things that cause cancer that is not trained in oncology, you can't fight. You can't fight carcinogens. You can't fight an acid pH. You can't fight nutritional deficiencies. You can't fight hypoxia or anoxia, lack of oxygen. And we all know that oxygen reverses cancer process. And we know that by having one organ never having cancer process. You'll never see a tumor in one organ. And last week we showed that, the heart. So the heart is so rich in oxygen that even if the cancer cells get inside the heart, the aorta or the actual cardiac tissue, they get killed instantly by the rich blood flow.
And explain why the lungs doesn't apply.
It's carbon dioxide. So CO2 output to the lungs, mm-hmm. and you have rich oxygen entering into the heart. So oxygen treatment obviously would be huge for reversing cancer. And it's amazing is oncology has a tool right there. It's called a nasal cannula. They can run 100% oxygen through your nose or your mouth, and they don't even touch it. So that just shows you they have no interest in curing anything.
They don't even think it has anything to do.
They think it fuels tumors. Well, initially it would, just like a fire. When you feel fire with oxygen, it blows up. But then you keep feeling it with water and oxygen, what drowns out. So the initial phase, it does swell up a little bit. But then if you continue the ozone therapies or oxygen therapies to the blood, it kills the cancer cells. They're anaerobic. So you can't fight immunosuppression. You can't fight inflammation other than giving anti-inflammatories, which are toxic. You can't fight a estrogen or a testosterone problem. So the DHT in prostate cancer is huge. And yet they have really no answers to block the DHT unless it's toxic. Now we use suppositories that can block the DHT. And you can also address the cancer process by detoxifying the body, by chelating the body with heavy metals, by changing the pH from acid to alkaline, by boosting or modulating the immune system, kind of like tuning a piano when it's staticky, or a radio when it's staticky. When the piano needs tuning, You tune an episode, modulates it, not manipulates it. You can't fight stress. You can actually address healthy principles, but you can't fight stress. So what would chemotherapy and radiation do to the carcinogenic problem? They are carcinogens, docs, professors, and scientists. What are you doing to fight the pH? Well, you're creating more acid. Everything you use, chemotherapy is acid. It burns your hole through your shoe. In fact, they have full mop gear on when they deliver it. And you know that the radiologists and the oncologists have full face masks. They have rubber gloves, rubber shoes, and they're protected by a lead wall. When they hit the switch on you with the radiation, you have no protection. You got a linen neck going on from the hospital. That's it. No protection. And they're shooting a cancer-causing agent that causes cancer to treat cancer in you. Are you kidding me? And that's all they have. You go to any oncologist, and they'll offer you chemo, radiation, surgery, and pharmacology. That's it. They know nothing about heat, hyperthermia, know nothing about choking the blood supply, angiogenesis, know nothing about Rife technology. We can shatter tumors with sound. And if anybody wants to know this, punch in Rife protocol for curing cancer in the Google engine and see what pops up. Royal Rife is the scientist. And he found that if you shoot the frequency back at the tumor sites through the blood's conductive, it's water, carries current. When you run the current back to the cancer tumor sites and you shatter them one layer at a time, you don't shatter the whole thing at one time, it turns necrotic and it turns black in necrosis and dies. And the dead pieces are picked up slowly by the blood and the lymphatic system and carried out. Why isn't that taught in med school? Because they don't want them to know, because it cures cancer. Another one they're hiding from you is dendritic culturing. Instead of poking at the tumor and spilling the cocoon back into the blood, you can actually scrape the cancer cells right off the tumor site and put it in a petri dish as a nutritional medium and take the blood from the patient and actually spin it down in a centrifuge and take out the neutrophils, drop them right on top of the cancer cells in the dish, direct contact, not a monkey, not a horse, not a cat. And then you culture it by leaving the dish culture, and then every couple of days or so, you have to clean the dish to keep it alive. And then 21 days later, you open up the dish, and guess what happens? The white blood cells fight the cancer cells, your cancer cells in the dish, and the byproduct is dendritics. Then dendritics are actually filtered and put back into you, and they memorize the cancer cells, where they're at. And they fight them like a Pac-Man. Why isn't that taught in med school? Now, you can go to Europe and get it done. But in America, they don't allow any treatments outside of chemo, radiation, surgery, or pharmacology. So that just shows you right there, they're hiding cures on you.
That's right. And we're going to continue this over the next couple of weeks. We're running out of time now, but Gary will be continuing. This coming up week, we're going to have this replayed because we did that the first part of the series that we did 2 weeks ago. We actually had it replayed for Labor Day because PRN was closed. And then we reached a lot more people because I guess they, you know, more people came online and listened. But we're going to do the same thing this week with this show. We're going to have it replayed next show. And then the following week, we are honored to have Dr. Tim O'Shea, The Sanctity of Human Blood. Immunization is not vaccination. He is the top researcher, one of the top. I mean, amazing information. This man does his homework. And I'm very, very excited that we've been reunited. He was one of our scientific advisors when we had the Autism Autoimmunity Project. And we've reconnected recently. So he'll be on the 24th. So tune in for that. And my husband, Gary, can be reached by calling 888-863-1733. And his teachings are all over YouTube. If you put in Gary Tunsky, T-U-N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, K-Y, just put it in YouTube and you can get tons of wealth of information and education. His website is phcelltalks.com. That's P as in Paul, H, C as in cat, E-L-L, T as in Tom, O-X as in x-ray.com. And you can also go to our vacinfo.org website. If you click on the treatment link, you can watch some great videos of his teachings as well as Marcus's testimony for 18 minutes. Very eloquently done, everything that Gary taught him to reverse his metastatic spleen cancer. Anyway, we're down to the minute now. So you're listening to Vic Fellowship, Vaccine Information Coalition. Our shows can be accessed on the front page of our vacinfo.org website, on the belly of a little boy flexing his muscles. We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. and our contact number is 800-939-8255. 1-800-327-2227. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to have this show, and y'all bless.